Welcome back to Mental Health Integration Week 7, Part 2. What is integration? I have a confession to make before we get started. And that confession is this. This is the second time that I've recorded Week 7, all the 1, 2, and 3. And that is because I failed to plug in the audio the first time. So I made a comment at the end of last session that you should know what sozo and shalom were and how they moved together. And we're going to cover that in this one. So, I'm very sorry, I got to give it away a little bit before you got here. And I expected you to know something that you clearly shouldn't have known yet. But we're going to learn that this time. So, we're jumping in to week 7, part 2. This is the what. What is integration? Now, as we've talked already, integration happens with this faith and this mental health stuff and all of that, but it has to start with something. And the something it starts with is disorientation. And the reason it has to start with disorientation is we have to get moved off our spot. When we're comfortable with something, there's no reason for it to change. So as long as we're comfortable with staying in the same ruts, doing the same thing over and over again, and we don't have to change, we don't have to update our beliefs about something, we don't have to move to the right or to the left, we just get to stay in the same spot, believe the same things, it's comfortable, I don't have to change, I can be entertained, and it's just fine. The only reason that does change is when we're disoriented, our spot moves, and then we get a different angle of the truth. And suddenly we're forced to reevaluate what is true because what we see now doesn't match up with our prior experience. This process of disorientation triggers us to reorient and ask, what's actually there? So this process of integration is going to be both about disorientation, because we have to get moved, and reorientation, because we have to reorient, we have to find these things anew. Last time we talked about how the bones that are broken rejoice. This is the idea. This is broken. There's a disorientation. It has to get moved. But then it has to get reset. That's a reorientation. And that has to heal. And then that becomes stronger because it's the way it should be. Another way of saying this is integration. Experience and faith intersect harmoniously. They have to make sense together. We can't look at our experience with depression or bipolar or mental illness or any of these other things and have them exist completely apart from our own theology. They can't exist and be against our own theology either. They have to mesh. They have to work together seamlessly. Otherwise, there's going to be issues in our own worldviews because the things that we experience and the things that we believe, if they're at odds with each other, those do force us to come out and to disorient because we can't make sense of those things. And that, in many ways, is part of the gift of mental illness, is that it forces this disintegration that can allow an integration. Now, as we get into this, we need to talk a little bit about the movement of the kingdom to know which way things integrate. Because if our idea of who God is and how he moves are going to change, we also need to know, okay, how does that change happen? And if my idea of who I am and who God is going to change, I need to know what it's going to move towards. And that's what we're going to talk about. And that starts right here. We're going to start in Numbers 6. This is one of the most famous blessings in the Bible. And this is to Moses. And he says, the Lord says to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Now, what's interesting about this is the word peace. So, I'm going to put that back up and put myself in the corner. The word peace is written there in Hebrew, shalom. And a lot of us know that word because we've heard shalom over and over again, mostly in church settings. But the word shalom is really a big word in Hebrew. Not that it's more letters, but it has this vast meaning. And that sits with Hebrew. Hebrew is a very colorful, artistic language. And you have to get the thrust of what a word means. And when you get the thrust of it, the art sense behind it, all of a sudden it makes sense. So when most of us think about peace, we think about an absence of war. As we record this, right now it's March 2022, so currently Russia is invading Ukraine, and we don't know how that's going to turn out because it's currently happening. Most of us would say peace is Russia does not invade Ukraine, and there is not violence. We're not bombing each other, we are not doing any of that, and there is peace. But the Hebrew understanding of peace goes much further than just an absence of war. The Hebrew understanding of peace is actually an abundance. It's an overflow. It's a things as they ought to be. So it's not just a little bit of something. It's that things are actually made right. This is a really profound thing. So when the Hebrew greeting, shalom, shalom, peace, 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 it's a huge blessing. May things be abundant with you. May you have peace and absence of war. And also may everything be right with you the way it ought to be. And what we see is this is the blessing. I'm going to go back to that. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. This is a movement towards the way things ought to be. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. This isn't the only time that we see this word. We also see it here in Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We see this in verse 7, of the government, of the greatness of his government and peace. Now, Isaiah 9 is one of what's called the servant psalms of Isaiah. These are psalms written about Jesus, clearly well before Jesus was born. And then Jesus fulfilled these psalms in his death, in his life and death. A lot of people know Psalm 50, or rather Isaiah 53, out of this section. Isaiah 61 is another one of the servant psalms. They couch who Jesus is. And so when we read of the greatness of his government and peace, this is what Jesus is moving for, this peace, this abundance, this the way things ought to be. He is resetting the world with his kingdom to the way things are when they're right. And this is a beautiful movement. We also read in Romans 14:17, so moving into the New Testament, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is actually this. Righteousness, that word in Greek, it's big. Again, it's right ruling. So his kingdom is ruled rightly. There is justice everywhere for everything. And there is peace. Things are set the way they ought to be. There is no violence and joy. So everything is moving in this direction. The kingdom is moving in this direction towards a reestablishment of the way things ought to be, to this abundance, to this place with no lack, to this place of goodness, to this place without violence. But there's another word that really well pushes us toward the idea of the kingdom, And that's from the New Testament. That is the word sozo, or to be saved, is how we translate it. And in the Greek, this word sozo, it means much more than to be saved. It means to come to complete health and healing. It's this idea that everything is mended. It's not just saved, it's completely healed. So, one of the best places to look at this is right here. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. Now, I put the Greek right here below so that you can see it, which just proves that I am an epic nerd. But you can see sozo if you look at and can actually translate that it's actually there. And I put the below where it's actually in. Faith has sozo healed you. The woman was sozo healed. So she comes to Jesus and she says, I'm not even going to talk to him. I just need to touch him. And she touches him. His power goes out and she is healed. She had sozo, brought to complete health and healing. Her bleeding stops. She is all better. And Jesus looks at her and says, "Your faith has healed you. It has made you well." We also see this in Matthew 1. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save, sozo, his people from their sins. He will bring them to complete health and healing. This will be made right." This is a big statement. Everything is being made right. This is the kingdom movement that we talked about. The kingdom is righteousness. It is peace. It is joy. This is this movement towards everything being made right, to complete health and healing. We also see this in 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Sozo. It's foolishness. But to us who are being brought to complete health and healing, it's God's power bringing things the way they ought to be, moving things into the right direction. One more I want to show you, and then we're going to start to tie these things together. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them away with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Sozo, go in peace." So here we see this movement. Your faith has saved you. It has brought you complete health and healing. Go in peace. Go in the way that things ought to be. This is exactly the movement of the kingdom. The kingdom moves towards peace and salvation. It moves on the way to health and healing, towards a place where there is abundance and goodness and things are all made right. So, what is the gift of disorientation in this place? The gift of disorientation is the gift that allows us to see where things are broken and where things are off. It allows us to reset because we understand what's going on in the kingdom. It's because we start seeing what's broken. Because you can't heal what you don't know is broken. And in that place, you can also begin to see what can be made right. When we started My Quiet Cave, we had this crazy idea that what we needed to do was help people reorient and refind their way in the middle of their life. Because this idea of who God was completely shot. It was completely gone. And they were lost. They felt like they had no direction. All these things are falling apart around them. What do we do now? But what we did know is that God is a God who is always moving towards sozo. He's always saving towards complete health and restoration, moving towards peace, where everything is right. And so God can even move in this space to create places where things are broken and then healed and then restored. I know a lot of you are faith leaders, and a lot of you probably haven't been touched by mental illness personally. But you have opportunity here, because you have opportunity to ask, where is God calling me to find where my broken parts are? What does this mean for me? How am I being disoriented and reoriented? Are there places where I am not believing that God can actually bring this to complete health and healing? And is He going to bring this to a place of peace? On a final note, it's easy also for us to look and say, I will define what complete health and healing looks like. I will make this definition for myself. And I remember being told that if I believed, my faith would heal me. And I remember being told all of these things about my life that are not true. Because people had an expectation of what complete health and healing looked like that was different than I think what God had for me. And so I have to ask you to also ask God what that definition would be for you. The reason being, if you tell somebody that they need to do something in order to be right, and they never experience that thing, it puts their faith on trial and says your faith was never big enough. And the question is, was it their faith that wasn't big enough, or was it something that God never promised in the first place? And as faith leaders, as someone who used to lead a ministry, this is a very, very important question. Because we can lead people down a very dangerous path very easily by saying, God will do this for you exactly like this. And then God might do something completely different. God hasn't taken away my bipolar disorder yet. Would love that to happen. Hasn't happened. Having bipolar is still a pain in the neck. It's not a lot of fun. I still have it. God hasn't taken away my hypoglycemia yet either. Still have it. Other things have gone, but those two haven't, and they've stuck with me. So when we have expectations, you will experience complete health and healing. It looks like you will never have to manage your diet again. You will be able to eat whatever you want, and you won't have a manic depressive illness. That's great, but that's not true for me yet. What is true is that God has brought me to a point where I can live with a family and experience abundance, where I can experience deep relationships, where I can love, where I have the opportunity to live a life that I would call incredibly good and incredibly worth living, where I can have relationships with my kids that I think are incredible, that I can have relationships with my family that I wouldn't take back for anything, that I have the opportunity to pour into my family and to love them and to care for them. This is something that's worth fighting for and worth loving. And this is something that is abundant life for me. So as a faith leader yourself, I would ask you to please let that integration be what God wants it to be. And if you hear that God wants to do something for somebody, we can speak that. But please don't overstep and say God wants to do this for you when God has no interest in doing that thing. Because that can be damning, not just for the person, but also their concept of who God is. And to be blunt, this stuff is hard enough. We don't need to add more responsibility and more brokenness to it. The first rule in therapy is do no harm. And I have to say, the first rule in a lot of this work is start by doing no harm, and then we can build on that. But it's very, very easy to spiritually damage somebody, especially when they're in such a vulnerable spot, and especially when they're looking to you for answers because they don't know which way is up. This is not to say that you don't contribute right things, because you will, but it is to say you have to mind your words. You have to listen quickly. You have to empathize. You have to listen to what God's saying and believe it. And you have to step forward knowing that your preconceived notions of what this thing could be beforehand, that could get disoriented through this process too. And we have to be present and listen and be careful. And if we do that well, we can care for people and walk them through this process well and help them experience the fullness of who they are and who God is. And they can experience deeper relationships than they ever knew existed. They can experience life knowing that they are beloved sons and daughters and they matter. And you can go through life knowing that God used you to do something beautiful. But that all happens only if we're careful and only if we don't blow somebody up on the way. My life as a Christian has largely been defined by picking up the pieces of people that were blown up by churches and Christian leaders who weren't careful with their words or who weren't careful with certain things they said. And they damaged people, not irreparably, but they definitely pushed them away bad enough that coming back to faith is definitely a stretch. These are those very, 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 very vulnerable moments with people that have the opportunity to turn whether they are going to increase their love of God by being able to be loved and finding the love of God beautifully, or whether they're going to get turned off by the church and run away. So please take them seriously. As you do this work, you will also learn to laugh. Because some things will be really funny. And that's okay. If you have a mental illness, it's easier to laugh at yourself. It's always easier to poke fun at the crazy guy when the crazy guy is you. It's really easy for me to tell jokes about being bipolar or anything like that because it can be funny. So please also invite some levity. Life is very serious all the time. It doesn't mean you need to take it so seriously that you forget to have fun. I know this is kind of a low note, but I want to thank you for taking this time, and next time we'll be looking at how we integrate, how we actually bring things together, and what our identity can be, even if we can't do all of that integration in one little session.